Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter.
How long you talk to them until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us on tonight. We are going to be bringing to you a powerful message, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also the coming of the Son of Man. You know, we are living in some evil times, wicked times, and all you need to do is cut on the radio, TV, or whatever. You see so much going on in the world. And I know people say, well, people have been saying that since our forefathers, that we're living in the last days. But truly, I do believe with all my heart we're living in the last days. You know why I say that? Because men's hearts are so hard. You know, last week, Bishop and I, we went out and went in the communities just to pray with people. And, you know, people don't have a passion for the things of God the way they used to. Even when I was a kid, maybe 60 years ago, younger than that, some of you younger than that, you remember a time when people would get up and go to church on Sunday? And we didn't have all the glitz and the glamour. You know, nowadays people want entertainment in the church. If you're not entertaining them, you got some kind of big orchestra band and you got all kinds of plays and things like that, and you got to have the perfect children's church, the perfect men's ministry, got to have the following. The first thing they ask you, how many people at your church? Now, I remember when Bishop and I, we got saved, we went to the little church in the back, and we wasn't looking for the glitz and the glamour. We just wanted God. But where's the heart after God? Where's the passion? And nowadays, Sunday come by, people turn over and go to sleep. They don't even have a desire. And this is why we're talking about this. Yes, it's hard. Yes, sometimes we don't feel like teaching. Yes, sometimes it makes us. But, you know, I thought about Noah. He preached for 120 years, and only 8 were saved, and that was his own family. So think about it. We do this. We come to you live every Saturday. Then on Sunday, we go over here to the center with the hopes that somebody will come. Somebody will be touched. Jesus said he left the 99 to go get the one. So if there's one person listening, yes, a lot of this we pay for with our own money. We don't get support. We don't get support like the big mega ministries. Sometimes we might not even get an offering at church. But you know what? We do it as unto the Lord. And even when we leave this earth, you're going to have records of what we taught, what we believe, the unadulterated word. Yes, it gets hard. Yes, it gets lonely. But when God has predestined you to do a particular thing, you're going to do it. You will do it. So we just want to put the word out there. It says, as it was. And I want to come into you reading the scripture, but let's open up with prayer. Lord God, you see us here tonight. Lord God, we ask that you touch the hearts, go forth into the highways, the byways. You said you would compel them to come. Lord God, to the ministries and the pastors out there that's holding up your bloodstained banner, we just send a word of encouragement to them on tonight, and we ask that you strengthen them to keep going forth. Lord God, just breathe fresh new life into them where they are weary. Lord God, we ask that you strengthen them. Give them encouragement on tonight because we all need it, Lord. Lord God, we ask that as we go to our services on tomorrow, send someone. Encourage us. We need it, Lord. We rebuke the spirit of division, dissension that comes to the body of Christ, and a spirit of religiosity. Lord God, so we ask that you go forth and touch the hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me give you our address. We're located at the Cherokee Community Center in Canton, Georgia. Our address is 1190 Evenflow Drive, and that's Canton, Georgia, 30114. And if you would like to send us an email, feel free to do so at kingdomofgodministries77@gmail.com. Or you could check us out on our website, which is www.kingdomofgodministries77.com. And every Saturday at 7:30, you can catch us on Blog Talk Radio. I want to give out our guest call-in number. If you need to call in for prayer or you have a question or comment, feel free to do so. Our call-in number is 646-668-8633. As in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. And so I'm coming to you out of Genesis chapter 6. And it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So it wouldn't just look like to me, it wasn't just one wife, it was wives. So whatever woman they saw and they wanted, they just snatched them. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be and 120 years. You know, before that, they were living longer than that. I think Methuselah lived, what, 960 years?
69
years. So you could see men live long times, but God stopped that. He said, their day shall be 120 years. And not even to this day, because of sin, fast forward, men is not even living past 70. God is gracious. You can live maybe to 80 or 90, but it's usually like 70. So you can see how sin had cut those years down. He said there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, was having sex with them, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I wonder what is he saying about the earth today? Because even the things that we see today, I know some people say, well, you couldn't imagine, it was very wicked then. But, you know, it's getting to that point now. You know, we got all type of hybrids and that the government is trying to do and things like that. So we're getting to that point. If you just look at in Georgia alone, and God speaks, he warns people in various ways. But one way he warned people is with different seasons of time. Just last month, Georgia had over 40 hurricanes, tornadoes. Now, to some that's spiritually blinded, they wouldn't even see this as maybe God is talking to them. Or God is saying, look, my wrath is getting ready to be poured out up on the earth. Are you ready? Will you be ready? Or are you just thinking about giving marriage and giving in marriage? So we're going to turn over here to Matthew 24, and this is what God said. I'm going to finish this, and then I'll go to Matthew 24. He said, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it penneth me that I have made them. And so when God said repenteth him, what he was saying, he was kind of sorry in a sense that he even made him. And, you know, that's kind of sad for the Father, God the Father, to look down upon creation and say, this is what I made. This is how they live in. I didn't make them to live like this. But anytime you have sin, you can look for destruction, violence, corruption, all kinds of abomination. That's why the early disciples was very quickly to root that out of the church. That's why they said a little leaveneth the whole lump. You can't allow certain things in the body of Christ. Yeah, I know now it's just not politically correct to address sin in congregations. But if you want a church full of weak people, just don't teach on sin. Don't teach on holiness. Just teach everything is good and everybody is going to make it in. You can be sitting up in church shacking and commend fornication, adultery, liars, cheaters. But everybody going to make it in. But the disciples, they had to root that stuff out because they said, this will corrupt the whole body of Christ. We got to get this up out of there. Now, we're going to go to them in love and tell them, look, what you're doing is not of God. He's saying, if they don't hear you, then you take a witness. If they don't hear you or the witness, then you kick them out of the congregation. Because you can't have that. Let's go over here to Matthew 24. And I'm going to read, this is our scripture, but we started in Genesis chapter 6. I wanted to just give you a little history of why Jesus said what he said. And, you know, we have to, as men and women of the gospel, we can't just give you part truth. We have to give you the whole truth because God will hold us accountable. If we twist and pick out certain scriptures just to appease your flesh, then we're not giving you the whole word of God. It says, and Jesus went out and departed. And I'm going to jump down here. He says, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one stone, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And I want to go over here to Matthew 37. Well, it's 24:37. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Even today, people are still eating and drinking, marrying, having their parties and having good times and not even concerned with Christ could come. You know what would be something if he chose to come back at the Super Bowl? Wouldn't that be something? Boy, you got people, billions and billions of dollars will be spent on tomorrow. And I sit here and I look at how the world, they make such a big thing out the Super Bowl, whatever their celebration is, not only the Super Bowl, but the world go all the way out. But yet, like what I taught last Sunday, we don't go out for God. We're so quiet. Church is so quiet. Well, I don't want to offend nobody. Well, I can't say that because it's not politically correct. The world say anything, do anything, they will put it in your face. Their sin, say the sin when they were building that Tower of Babel, it rose up and stenched God's nostrils. That's how close the sin was. But yet Christians say, we don't want to offend the sinner. The sinner don't care about offending you. He said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the fields, the one shall be taken, the other one left. And you know, that's where they got Left Behind series. You know, they made a lot of money off of that. But I mean, it was getting a point out to let you know that you don't know the day or the time. And I know people say, well, they've been preaching that since our forefathers died and still preaching Jesus is coming. But think about all those thousands of years, the billions of people that have died, some of them didn't know God. So what am I saying? Whether it happens like the Left Behind series, you know, some people say, well, we'd be caught up, taken, just caught up to meet them in the air. And, you know, they don't sensationalize this Left Behind series. But God can do it in a way where we all be sleeping. When we wake up, we'll just be in his presence. So let's not get caught up on how it's going to happen. We just know it's going to happen. If God calls you home tomorrow, guess what? Your day, you've been raptured out of here if you know the Lord. Because you're going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. That corruptible, your body going to take on the incorruptible. That body is not going anywhere. It's by your spirit. So if you don't know the Lord, how will you go to be with the Lord? This is what we're telling you today. Get it right. Get right with God. We don't do this, come on the radio, teach about the things of God for our health. You know, I could easily be at home relaxing, sitting on my couch. But I believe that somebody out there, somebody, they want to hear the word. Somebody want to change their life, and they're tired of living that way because the way they were living is not getting them anywhere. Keep going around in circles, bumping their head, keep going around in circles. They want to make a change. This is why we do that, what we do. And when Christ foretold of his second coming, it's unusual for prophets to speak of things as near as just at hand to express the greatness and certainty of them. So what God is doing to using prophets today, pastors, teachers, he's warning the people. Whatever mouthpiece he can use, whatever vessel he can use, just like when Noah preached for 120 years and they laughed at him, they mocked him, they scoffed him. God got men and women today, prophets and teachers, putting that word out today, saying, today you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Christ's second coming, it was foretold. And we see that there are signs and the seasons of time that God say, watch. Don't be asleep. Watch, because I'm giving you these nuggets. I'm showing you when I'm soon to return. But if you sleep and if you're in a state of stupor, you won't even see the signs. Nature is reeling and rocking with all types of signs, earthquakes in diverse places, wars, rumors of wars. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, mothers against daughters, fathers against sons. We just had a young man in Georgia that killed his mother, choked her to death because she was trying to get him to take his medication. What do you think caused all this turmoil and violence? It's the evil spirit that is roaming the land. That's why the saint has to rise up. Take your proper authority. Take your stand in the things of God. It doesn't matter if you're going to be popular. Noah was not popular. Noah was isolated. A lot of the people thought Noah was crazy. Why are you teaching about a flood and we never had any rain? What are you talking about? But he was prophetic. See, prophets can foresee things because God puts it in their spirit. And when they start crying loud and blowing the trumpet, get ready, get ready. God has already put it in their spirit that something is coming up on the land. Don't take it lightly. I know a lot of you say, well, we see churches on every corner. Do you not know that God has a way of warning his people before the destruction comes? You don't say that when you see a fast food restaurant on every corner. So why do you say that when you see a church on every corner? You should be thanking the Lord because God is putting it out there like, I'm going to get my word to those that want to hear it. But yet today we have scoffers. We have naysayers. We have people who harden their heart. They don't want to hear the word of God. They'll turn you off rather than hear the word of God. They all want to hear foolishness. That's why he said they were marrying, they were eating, drinking. That's not talking about just normal eating and drinking. They were partying, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they're going to be doing this even up until when Jesus comes and return in the sky. You don't want to be left. Get it right today. Amen? So with that, excuse me, I'm going to turn it over to Bishop. And be sure to join us tomorrow if you're in the Canton, Georgia area. We start service. We have Sunday school at 10, and our service starts at 11. Tell a friend. Invite someone. Be blessed. And next week, I want to say we're having a special program, What's Love Got to Do with It? We will have a open forum at the church and questions. I know nowadays people have gone through so much in their marriages and relationships, and we just want to import God's purpose and will in your life. And I know sometimes people have to get divorced or let's give you God's perspective on building godly and mature relationships. So be sure to join us next week. God bless you.
Amen. We want to thank the Lord for what we have heard via Evangelist Montgomery. And I want to bring out some other things to kind of bring everything home. We have heard the word of God, and we've heard what Jesus is saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But what I want to do, I want to bring out some things. I want to go back in time a little bit. Go back 65 years. And you say, well, what does that have to do with today? Well, it has a lot to do with today, because it's dealing with what men and women are doing in reference to what Jesus said about his coming and what it was going to be like. And some people seem to think that all this that's happening is just coincidental, it's just something that just is just happening. But I want to bring out something to you. There are forces in the world, demonic, Luciferian, occultic. They have been planning things, and they get their information from the enemy, from Satan, from Lucifer, from the devil. And a lot of people don't want to believe there is a Lucifer or a devil. Some people don't even believe there is a God or a Christ. But it really doesn't matter what a person believes sometimes when it comes to the truth of God's word. There are going to be many people in that day when Jesus comes back, they're going to say, well, I don't believe this, but there he is. A lot of people in the days of the flood, when it was raining, they were saying, I don't believe that it's raining, but they were still getting wet. That's just how some people are. They deny the truth even when it's slapping them in the face. They deny the fact of Jesus Christ. They deny the fact of the Father God. They deny the fact of the Holy Ghost even when it's moving in their face and moving all over them. They still say, well, that's not God. But we're going to go a particular way right now. Jesus said, I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Evangelist Montgomery brought that out, but I want to bring out some other things. It says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, they weren't married, but they were acting like they were married, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what I want to bring out here is they had a plan, and it's going right along with what Jesus was saying. Now, this plan that these certain individuals had were not good. It was somewhat of an anti-Christ plan. It was somewhat of an anti-Christian plan. It was somewhat of an anti-righteous plan. But I'm going to give it to you because this is something that was written down for everybody to see. And it was a plan that was devised some 65 years ago, maybe even further than that, because it was 65 years ago from the time of this writing. From the time of this writing, okay? So it could have been even longer. But anyway, I'm not going to pull any punches. If you want to look it up, you can look it up. It's a 10-point plan by Alice Bailey and the New World Order for the destruction of what? Christianity. Now, Jesus says something about this here. He says, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, you have to ask the question, how was it in the days of Noah? Well, the Bible tells us that in the days of Noah, the wickedness and the evil and the corruption and the perversion was so great, and people were so corrupted in their souls and in their minds that their thought patterns were continually evil. Now, that's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God says. And when God looked upon that, he had to deal with it. And he did. It was a corruption of people's minds, It was a corruption of people's soul. It was a corruption of people's body, even down to the genes was corrupted. The part that make up the human person, the genome, the gene part of them was even corrupted. And God dealt with it. He did. So what's going on now? Now you would think that people would have learned from history. But for some reason, people don't learn from history. They forget history and then do the same thing over again that caused the destruction in the first place. So let's get on into this reading here. 10-point plan by Alice Bailey and the New World Order for the destruction of Christianity. Now, one thing I want to bring out here. Have you noticed a lot of our presidents and have been talking about a new world order? Reagan, he talked about the new world order. Clinton talked about the new world order. It's been and many of our presidents have talked about that new world order, but they won't say what it is. Have you noticed that? They don't say what it is, but they talk about it. But here it is. And here is the makeup or the leading up of the new world order. And here's the first thing. The purpose of this 10-point plan of the new world order is this: to change Christian tradition or to redeem the nations of Christian tradition. Redeem the nations of Christian tradition? Huh? But look at the first point. The first point of this plan is, guess what? To take God and prayer out of the education system. One thing I want to say to you all, and maybe many of you don't know, that many of our top colleges were based on Christian thought patterns, Christian study, for the drawing to people to God and Christ, to cause people to be obedient to God. Many of our colleges were based on God and Christ and the Bible. Many times, as far back as our teachers, they would go and read from the Bible. And many times they would learn how to read from reading the Bible. Oop! Or I guess you didn't know that, but that's how it was. But they say, take God and prayer out of the educational system. Then it says, change curriculum to ensure that children are free from the bondage of Christian culture. Why? Because children go to school to be equipped to face life. They are willing to trust and they are willing to value what is being given to them. That's a child. If you take God out of education, they will unconsciously form a resolve that God is not necessary to face life. They will focus on those things the school counts them worthy to be passed on, and they will look at God as an additional if one can afford the additional. Today, they introduce transcendental meditation, TM, in schools, which takes children to altered states of consciousness to meet with demons, spirit guides, or New Age. Now, this is the same stuff that the Lord was talking about. This is the same kind of stuff that was happening in the days of Noah. Huh? Reduce parental authority over the children. That's the second thing. Break the communication between parent and child. Why did they do this? So that parents do not pass on their Christian tradition to their children. Liberate children from the bondage of their parent traditions. How? A, promote excessive child rights. 1997 to 1998, South Africa introduced child rights legislation, UNICEF charter. Today, a child is able to say to a parent, I do not want to hear that. I don't want to do what you are telling me. Teachers cannot talk to children. Children step up and say, I have my rights. You cannot talk to me that way. And what do you have now in school? You have folks going in school shooting and stabbing people. Do you hear me? Cursing out teachers, throwing chairs at teachers, doing every unimaginable thing you can think of. Why? It's because the government has told the parents you can't spank your child. You can't chastise your children anymore. You can't hardly tell them right from wrong, and then they wonder why you got gangs everywhere. Then you wonder why children are killing their parents. Then you wonder why children are killing other children. Then you wonder why children are doing all kinds of imaginable evil. Well, you think about it. If you can't tell your children the right way to go, well, they can only go the wrong way. Huh? You take the authority of the parent from the child. What you think is going to happen? They can be easily brainwashed by anybody to do wrong if they're not going to listen to what is right. And then it says, B, abolish corporal punishment. This has been made law. On the other hand, the Bible says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 23:13-14. So this Dr. Spock mentality, whereas you just give a child time out for just about burning the house down, and you don't give them any kind of corporal punishment, what do you think you're telling that child? You're telling that child whatever you do is okay, because nobody is going to do anything to you. You have your own rights. Nobody can tell you right from wrong. But this is something that was a part of a 10-point plan to destroy Christianity, to take God out of the nation. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We are going right along with it. Sometimes you have to stand up and be counted, even if it means a little persecution. Sometimes you need to be politically incorrect because it's destroying the nation. And when the nation is destroyed, a nation cannot be destroyed unless the people are destroyed. And the people will be destroyed when the children are destroyed. And then the whole thing is a horrible mess. But let me go on. Now, here it is. Jesus said, in the last days, wickedness will increase. There will be rebellion, and children will not obey their parents. It's not a trend. This is organized. I'll bring out something else. See, teachers are the agents of implementation. From workshops, teachers tell children, your parent has no right to force you to pray or read the Bible. You are yourself. Have a right of your own. You need to discover yourself. Self-expression, self-realization, self-fulfillment are all buzzwords. In the West, when the child is 7 years, the teachers begin to say to the child, you have a right to choose whether you want to follow the faith of your parents or not. Parents are not allowed to enforce their faith upon you. Question is, what type of decision can a seven-year-old make? You're telling them this stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to get into some of the things, but what I want to bring out is a lot of people don't want to believe in the Bible and what the God says, but these other folks, they believe in the Bible. They believe in what God says, but they want to corrupt it and destroy you. But you don't believe anything, but these folks do. And the reason that they do is because they want to push their belief on you. They want to push Satanism on you. But for them to do it, they got to get you to not believe in the true and living God, in your actions and in your words. Now, listen to this. All right, here's another. Destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional Christian family. Why? It is oppressive. And that the family is the core of the nation. If you break the family, you break the nation. Liberate the people from the confines of this structure. How do you do that? Promote sexual promiscuity. Oh, free young people to the concept of premarital sex. Let them have free sex. Lift it so high that the joy of enjoying it, sex, is the highest joy in life. Fantasize it, that everybody will feel proud to be seen to be sexually active, even those outside of marriage. This is contrary to the word of God, which says, but a fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. Have you noticed nowadays? Now they have made it that anybody that is a virgin or is not loose and lewd, something is wrong with them. But this thing was planned long ago. It was planned long ago, and society has bit it and bit the whole thing hook, line, and sinker. Use advertising industry, media, TV, magazines, film, and industry to promote sexual enjoyment as the highest pleasure in humanity, and the television is flooded with it. Music is flooded with it. The whole nation is flooded with sex like it's $1 million.
It is. So there's a money
maker. Yeah, a money maker.
Sex sales.
How have they succeeded? Have they done it? If you want to see whether they have succeeded or not, go to the advertising industry. It does everything to catch your attention, and today almost no adverb comes out without a sexual connotation. That is true. Even when they advertise ice cream, they must show you a thigh of a woman and a bikini. They must do something to set off a trail of thoughts. They will show you more thighs than ice cream. Why? Because that is what must be in the minds of the people. Advertising industry pops out so much money towards the advertisement to the TV and radio. Sex sales. That's what they tell you. 4, if sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. Build clinics for abortion, health clinics in schools. If people are going to enjoy the joy of sexual relationships, they need to be free of unnecessary fears. In other words, they should not be hampered with unwanted pregnancies. Mm-hmm. Abortion is told by Christians is oppressive and denies our rights. We have a right to choose whether we want to have a child or not. If a woman does not want the pregnancy, they should have the freedom to get rid of that pregnancy painless and as easy as possible. Today, it is not only accessible, it is forced. Today, abortion is a strategy to curb population control together with the use of condoms and pills. Make divorce easy and legal. 5, make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. Alice wrote over 65 years ago that love has got a mysterious link called the love bond. It is like an ovum that comes out of the ovary, and it travels through your system. It clicks a love favor in you, and there's one other person in the world who can respond to that love bond. When you see that person, everything within you clicks. That is in the world who can respond to that love bond. You're a man or woman. If you miss him, you'll never be happy until that love bond cycles pass for many years. So for you to be happy, get that person at whatever cost. If it means getting him, her out of that marriage, get him or her that is your man, woman, it is a mistake for him or her to be elsewhere. And if you go together for some time and find that love has died, don't be held in that bondage by the Christian values. It will never come back. What you need is an easily arranged divorce and allow another love bond to come forth. Just like an oval comes up, and when it comes forth, you'll enjoy life again. On the contrary, God's word says in Malachi 2:16, for the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. People enter into marriage having signed contracts of how they will share their things after divorce. People enter with one foot and another behind. In the past, divorce was unthinkable. It is one thing for a marriage to fail, but it is another thing for people to enter marriage with the intention to enjoy as long as it was enjoyable and to walk out of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's another. This is 6, and we'll be closing pretty soon. It says, make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Now, this was preached by Alice Bailey over 65 years ago, that sexual enjoyment is the highest pleasure in humanity. You see the perversion? No one must be denied, and no one must be restricted how to enjoy themselves. People should be allowed in whichever way they chose, they want, whether it's homosexuality or in incest or bestiality, as long as the two agree. Does that sound familiar? In the world today, as many laws have been made that promote homosexuality and give so much freedom to gay rights, that a time will come when it is illegal for a preacher to mention homosexuality. Is that almost not the case now? As an abomination in the eyes of God, or to read scriptures publicly that talk about homosexuality at the international scene, Western nations now sanction African countries that have resisted homosexuality with threats of withdrawing foreign aid and investment. Today, many churches marry gays, lesbians, and ordain gay priests. According to the Bible, this is an abomination before the eyes of God. Now, this is something that was spoken 65, some further than 65 years ago, people. That thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, Leviticus 18:22. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall be surely put to death. Their blood shall be upon them, Leviticus 20:13. Preachers can't preach that today. People can't speak that out in open. They can't preach the word of God. They can't say what God says. Everybody else can speak, but people cannot preach the word of God effectively, word for word, nowadays, without being condemned and cut down,
hate mongers,
without being called hate mongers. That's not hate. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth.
Well,
debase art, make it run mad. How? Promote new forms of art which will corrupt and defile the imagination of people, because art is the language of the spirit. That which is inside you can bring out. You can bring out in painting, music, drama. Look at the quality of the music that is coming out. Films out of Hollywood. Use media to promote and change mindset. The greatest challenge you need to use to change human altitude is media. Use the press, the radio, TV, cinema. You can tell today how successful they have been in implementing the plan over 65 years via media, as well as advertising agencies, billboards, magazines. Who controls media? New Age. So much money is pumped into media and advertising, spreading of pornographic material and other sources. Sex outside of marriage is thrown on your face 80 to 90 times than sex in marriage.
Yeah.
Promiscuity is being promoted as natural. You can watch gay sex on TV and home, where children's minds are being neutralized to sensitivity to these things. You wonder why newspaper, TV, etc. do not record anything about Christian activities. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Create an interfaith movement. 9.
Mm.
Promote other faiths to be at par with Christianity, and break this thing about Christianity as being the only way to heaven, by that Christianity will be pulled down and other faiths promoted.
Many ways to
die. She said, promote the importance of man in determining his own future and destiny. What is that? It's humanism. She said, tell man he has the right to choose what he wants to be, and he can make it happen. He has the right to determine his cause. This takes God off his throne. Interfaith movements are rising everywhere in the world today, and they're putting it on television. And I just saw it a little while ago, on a particular program, I believe it's called the Colony, and where they said all your religions are saying the same thing. And they put the Bible down and raised up other beliefs. And then it says, get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes. Oh, they're slick, and they're doing it now. The church must change its doctrine and accommodate the people by accepting these things and put them into its structures and system. Have they succeeded? Today you wonder why our governments are legislating laws contrary to the Bible and why the church is compromising the word of God. It is a process of implementing the plan, Alice Bailey's plan, to destroy the church and destroy Christianity and everything relating to the true and living God. Let me go on. The plan, a 50-year strategy of the New Age movement to fulfill its ultimate goal to establish a one-world government without God, a one-world economic system without God, and a one-world religion without the true and living God, without the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, without Jesus Christ, without the moving of the Holy Ghost, without the true word of God being preached. Today, the strategy almost in its entirety has been adopted by the United Nations, and today a lot of it is already law in many nations. This deception has crept up unobserved on so many people. It can best be demonstrated through the well-known analogy of the frog in the pot of water. If you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it is smart enough to know that it is in terrible danger and will immediately jump out to safety. But if you turn up the heat very slowly, a little at a time, it doesn't notice the changes that are taking place and will slowly cook to death. Many people today are slowly cooking to death and don't seem to realize how far they have come from where they once were. Today, the Western world is not struggling to resist these because the New Age movement focuses primarily on the West because that was the Christian world in the 19th century. The New Age movement has a school called the Accounting School, which is the school of all the leaders of the Western world. They subscribe to it. It is recorded that they say they have succeeded the task in the West, but suddenly they realize Christianity has migrated to the rest of the world. So they have now to use every resource in the West to deal with the rest of the world. And Africa, South Africa, is the number one state that is changing at such a rapid speed. They are saying give to African states a financial package with the condition to legalize abortion, take God and her out of school. Governments are so attracted to this package, they can't say no to it. They need the money, and they ask the church to find an answer. These are done secretly. Christianity is 5%. The rest is Hinduism, Buddhism, and Spiritism. New Age is being taught to teachers. They are being taught to teach this in schools. It is interesting to note Blavatsky, Bessant, and Alice Bailey, 1880 to 1949, were well-known Masonic leaders of the day. Albert Pike referred to Freemasonry as the custodian or special guardian of these occult secrets and revealed the hidden agenda of his institution, the forming of a Luciferic one-world government. We need to watch and pray. Why did I read this? Why did I get into this? I got into this and I brought this out because of what Jesus said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. It was like that in the days of Noah. They didn't want to have anything to do with the true and living God. They were evil to the core. Evil to the core. They didn't want to have anything to do with the true and living God. They rejected God. And what is happening now? People are rejecting God. They are rejecting God in a country that is supposed to be a Christian nation. We are supposed to be a godly nation. but yet and still we do not adhere to the word of the living God. How is that Christian? How is that godly? When everything that is perverse is celebrated in this country. When right is wrong and wrong is right. But Jesus said that's how it's going to be when he comes back. That's how it was in the days of Noah, and that's how it is now. And it's going to get worse because people in this nation gives a thumb down to God and Christ. And now it's coming to the point now that you can't even preach the word. You can't even speak the word in truth and in honesty. Everything in this country now, when it comes to the things of God, has to be compromised. You can't say what's wrong and what's right in the church. You can't preach deliverance. You can't really preach salvation. You can't do what Christ tells us to do in this country now. Now it's getting to the point where they're going to legislate God out of the country. They're going to legislate Jesus Christ out of the country. It's getting to the place where they're going to legislate the Bible out of the nation. And when that happens, way with the country, because the Lord is going to come back and he's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. There is no nation on the face of the earth that has rejected God and has prospered the way God would have them to prosper. But nevertheless, we're going to keep preaching the word straight from what the word says. We're not compromising anything. If the Bible says what the Bible says is what we're going to preach. If you have a problem with that, then, you know, talk to God.
Plenty of churches out there where you can go and
talk to God. But anyway, our time is about up. We only have a few minutes left. So I'd like to say I'd like to bless everyone who listened to the program tonight. I want to say to you to keep your hope in Christ. Don't keep your hope in man. Keep your hope in Jesus Christ. Keep your hope in the word of God. Keep your hope in the things of God. When somebody is living the word of God, follow them. But you follow them as they follow Christ. Like Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, you don't have to follow me. I'm telling the truth because I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ. I'm pointing you to Father God. I'm not pointing you to me. I'm not telling you to follow me. I'm telling you to follow God. Follow Jesus Christ. Follow the word of the living God. You won't have any problems if you do that. As far as your soul salvation is concerned, you're going to have problems on this earth because we're living in a wicked world. They don't like God. They don't like Christ, so they probably won't like you either. But nevertheless, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you for everyone that listened on tonight. Father God, I ask that you touch their heart and their soul. Give them strength, Lord. Give them a revelation of your word. Strengthen them, Lord, in your word and in your spirit. Father God, let them accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they will not miss Christ Jesus when he comes back, all right? That they will not be deceived by the enemy, that they will not fall into this 10-point plan of this new world order. Touch them, strengthen them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we come against every hindering spirit that would try to block the word of God. Father God, we bless and we speak healing and deliverance to your people everywhere. We come against spirits of oppression and depression. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you bless your people. Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Keep their hearts and their minds and strengthen them in your word, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you strengthen them in their spirit and in their body and in their soul, Father God, by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.